I'll invite folks to come on in. as they all rush, like, oh, shoot. It's all good. It's a wonderful thing to have as social of a church as we do. It's a great thing. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we give thanks that you are with us today. We are on Transfiguration Sunday today, which, you know what that means. That means that we are about to get into Lent. So this coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we have a service right here in this sanctuary. We'll be doing interactive prayer stations once again, which is something that I brought to us 2 years ago and got really good feedback on, and decided to bring it back again. So if you are with us in person, all of the materials that you need will be here. And then if you are with us on Zoom, Alana will be sending out an informational packet with all the instructions you need for interactive prayer stations, and you'll be able to do all of those things with common household items that you already have. So you won't have to do a whole lot of, except for maybe one item. But you can it'll be sent. If it hasn't been sent out already, it'll be sent out tomorrow. So you'll get it in plenty of time to assemble those things. And we suggest, if you're going to be Zooming that service, to have as many of the stations assembled as possible before the service, so that you can, because we'll get 15 minutes for that part of the service. So you assemble them early so that you can use those 15 minutes for prayer and meditation. The confirmation students have an announcement.
This year's confirmation class invites you to join us for a soup luncheon fundraiser on Sunday, April 26th, immediately after the following 9:30 a.m. service. Come enjoy delicious homemade soups and warm fellowship. A Goodwill offering drive will be available for donations. The confirmants are raising funds to replenish the Faith Formation Retreat account, and we need your support to make this event a success. In addition to joining us for lunch, would you consider donating a gift basket or an item for our silent auction? Your contributions will help us make a fun, meaningful event for everyone. Gift baskets and auction items will be displayed about 3 weeks before the luncheon, giving everyone a chance to browse, buy raffle tickets, and show their leading support up to April 26. Thank you for helping our confirmation class grow in faith and service. Please see a confirmation student or Becky Smith if you can help.
Thank you, Lily. Alana, you have an announcement as well?
Yep. The Easter lilies are up for order now. I have the prices. 6-inch, $9.99, 8-inch, $32.99, and I know they're going to be a little pricey this year due to some distributor issues. A 10-inch, $52.99, and then they're also offering a 6-inch oriental lily for $15.99, and the order forms are on the butcher block, and they're due on the 8th.
Thank you. Any other announcements this morning? Oh, are you coming up? Oh, you're not. Okay. Okay. Seeing none, Sue, will you?
Good morning. This is the last Sunday in our worship series focusing on how ordinary moments and activities in our lives can be spiritual practices that yield profound gifts for our well-being. Today, we remember a mystical moment some of the disciples had with Jesus when he was joined by his spiritual ancestors, Moses and Elijah, on the mountain, and God's voice affirming Jesus' work as pleasing. For weeks, we have considered the everyday activities of our lives as a way to be nurtured spiritually. Finally, we see the opportunities to encourage each other in the efforts of each day of our lives. Get up and don't be afraid. Please rise if you're able and join me in the call to worship. God of love, in the light of the sunrise,
we behold your glory.
In the light of the stars at night, we behold your mystery. In the light in each other's eyes, we behold your presence. In the light of Christ, we behold your love. Light of God, shine upon us. Light of Christ, shine within us. Holy Spirit, radiate your goodness through us. Amen. And join me in the opening prayer. Motivating God, we give you thanks for the courage to live boldly into your promises. Open our hearts to the light of possibilities, even when the day ahead holds difficulties. Be with us, near us, beside us. Amen.
Amen.
The opening hymn is number 48, Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, verses 1, 2, and 4.
Amen. You may be seated.
Do we have any kids with us today? Lauren, Blake, there's Ashley. I'm going to invite you to sit in your chairs because we're going to watch the music video today. So we can sit in the chairs here. All right. So today, on God's team, what do we do when we say on God's team? We point up, right? On God's team. Okay, now you might have to jump up and show the congregation. We say players change the world, and then we do a superhero pose. You don't know what a superhero pose? It can be anything. All right, stand up. Can you face the congregation? On God's team. Players change the world. We all chose the same one. That's good. All right. Good job. Good job. Yeah, today we're going to watch a video of a song about how children change the world. So I want you to watch because I'm going to ask you some questions about it. All right? Alana, can you please play it?
Six, seven, eight, nine.
see them doing stuff? What did they do?
Sing.
They sang? Yep, they did. They sang. Did they pick up trash? Didn't it look like they were picking up trash? Yeah. Did they make some signs to promote Earth Day and stuff and keeping things clean? Sure. Yeah. Well, I thought the whole We Can Change the World kind of deals with transfiguration, right?
Absolutely. Transfiguration is kind of a big word, right? It basically means change. There are lots of ways that we can change.
Yeah. And did the kids in the video, did they change all by themselves? Or did they do it together?
Together.
Okay, good job. Well, Jesus and his disciples changed the world together too. Jesus always sent his disciples out in pairs, and they spread Christianity little by little by little, and it just kept growing because more and more people kept telling stories. What?
What is Christianity?
Good question. Yeah. What is Christianity, she asked. Yes, it's loving God and spreading God's love.
You like that?
Say that again.
I love God too.
Yes, yeah. We all love God. So today in Sunday school, you're going to learn about how Jesus started changing the world with the help of his disciples. All right. We just got Valentine's Day?
Yeah.
You get to do a Valentine's Day craft in Sunday school today, too.
That's fun.
All right. Would you please lead us in prayer, Jacob?
All right. I think you're going to need to stand up for this. All right, and congregation, if you want to stand up and do your superhero pose too, you can. All right, I'm going to... Party poopers. I'm gonna say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for reminding us that on your team, we can change the world together. Help us share your love and change the world wherever we go. Amen.
Today, our scripture comes from Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became bright as light. Suddenly, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will set up three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Get up and do not be afraid. And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Sue. My friends, let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So about 3.5 years ago, I started talking to your search, when I started talking to your search committee, one of the many questions that they asked me was this one. What personal goals do you have for yourself while you're with us, outside of ministry? At that time, there were two main goals that came to mind. One was to get my music more out there into the world, and that goal has started to be reached. You can find some of my music pretty much wherever you listen, and also on my website. And another goal is that I had was finding a partner and having a family. I wanted to pastor a church that would be willing to sort of go along for the ride with me as I evolved from a single 20-something to a family man. And of course, you all know that I'm in the process of reaching that goal as well. And I'm excited to have you alongside me on that journey for what I hope and pray will be a very long time. There are a lot of things that we haven't quite figured out yet, but there are lots of things that we do know, and one of them feels like I just really want you all to be on that journey with me for a while. So, but one of the goals that I hadn't even dreamed would be a possibility would be to get behind the wheel of a car and be able to drive independently. As has been the case with so many other situations, this congregation has readily helped me reach that goal as well. Several of you have been truly brave souls in taking this 31-year-old student driver out on the road and helped me put the necessary time in to hopefully take my road test in a month or two. I promise to drive safely so that I don't have to do any premature funerals. But, of course, that goal comes with a lot of fear and a lot of trepidation. What if, after all this effort, things don't work out as I hoped they would? You all have been so supportive in helping me reach this lofty goal of being able to drive, and I've learned that circumstances are different from what they were when I was 16 and 17 and 18 and tried and failed to drive when I was living with my parents. I think some of that has to do with the fact that I'm doing this for my growing family. Some of this has to do with the fact that you have a different perspective on your life at 31 than you do at 16. And then some of that has to do with the fact that my anxiety is more controlled than it used to be. I'm on anxiety medication, as you all know. I think that some of that helps also. So there are several reasons why it feels like this time might be a little bit different. I also think that being able to drive will help me live into my calling as your pastor more effectively. So suffice it to say that this kind of feels like a transfiguration of sorts of my own, which is why I wanted to share this today as we celebrate Transfiguration Sunday and prepare for the season of Lent. Like Jesus on the mountain, I'm being transformed into something I never imagined possible, and it's terrifying. But at every turn, I have had people say, "You can do this." Now, a careful reader can trace that whole arc and that experience of grace through today's text as well. In every account of the transfiguration of Jesus, there is fear, both in the sense of awe and wonder, fear, because people use fear for that, and then the sense of like, fear, being completely terrified. There are so many moments in the Gospels where the disciples have no idea what the heck is going on, because all of a sudden, one of them is yammering on as they do, and then Jesus changes right in front of them. But then when Jesus comes down from the mountain, after they fall into their knees, he says to get up and to not be afraid. That's kind of the theme that we're working with today as we wrap up this sermon series on spiritual affective disorder. So today I want to talk about what transfiguration means, both for Jesus and for us, as we follow Jesus on his journey to the cross. So when you look up the word transfigure in the dictionary, the definition is to change in outward form or appearance, transform. Now, we're not only celebrating a visual transformation of Jesus in this story, though that's often what we think of when we hear this story. The transformation that we're celebrating is also theological. We're told that Jesus takes Peter and James and John up to a mountain and has this radical visual transformation, but then the voice of God booms from the clouds and speaks. The disciples fall to their knees in fear, and Jesus comes to them and comforts them. As commentators write, when Jesus tells his frightened disciples to rise and release their fear, he's offering more than just comfort for that single moment. He is preparing them for every trial ahead, assuring them that God holds them through whatever terror comes next. The brilliance they witness on that mountain won't make complete sense until they've sat with the cold finality of death, learning that God's transformative power is most real when we've walked through our darkest valley. So, one way to look at this text is that the only way we can truly understand Christ's call for our lives is to enthusiastically say yes to hard things, knowing that if we do that, God will be with us. Now, that's good theology, but it's kind of oversimplified. Because after all, there are so many times when we are called to engage in growth and self-reflection, and we become very scared. For those of us who have been partnered with another person, or for those of us who become parents, these are life-transforming events that radically change everything we thought we knew about ourselves and require us to step up to the plate or grow up a little bit. They call us to face a fear we previously thought was insurmountable. They call us to remember the belovedness that God claims in each of God's people. Because we can't do hard things unless we first know that we are loved. The same "this is my son" words, verbatim, were spoken by God earlier in Matthew's gospel when Jesus was baptized by John. And they're said once again to affirm the important calling that Jesus has to alter the status quo and turn hearts and minds towards God. And he also has Moses and Elijah, symbols of the law and prophets of old, guiding him on this journey and being present with him in this transfiguration scene. If we say yes to God, we're empowered to do things that we never thought possible. I'm quite sure that Jesus was probably afraid at least a time or two as he prepared to share his ministry with others. At least we know that to be true if he is fully human as we understand him to be. But the fully divine piece of Jesus' identity reminded him that he was particularly, specially empowered to share God's good news of love and liberation with people in need of it. So I think Jesus understands and empathizes when we are afraid to do hard things or do things that require a lot of us. At some point, we will all face decisions that ask us if we are going to fall to our knees and in fear, or if we are going to get up and boldly respond to that call which God sets on our hearts. You know, we have a choice. And I think that's true of this church, and I think that's true of us as individuals. And just as Jesus called his disciples to transformation, God calls us, both individually and as a church family, to change that feels equally difficult. By the very nature of how organized religion is changing, I think that both the institutional church, you mean the wider church, and our own individual church might have to make some radical transfigurations if we want to meet this community where they're at. We might need to be more demonstrative about what we believe in order to attract new members to our community. We may need to remember that outreach is more than writing checks, and that we might have to get our hands a little dirty. And not everybody is going to like doing church this way, because we necessarily have to do things differently than we did 50 or 60 years ago. And in order to change things for our little church in our little town and for us to make a difference in the community, we as individuals will probably have to undergo some transfiguration of our own. Now, some of us are going to go through that with curiosity. Some of us are going to go through that change kicking and screaming. Some of us are going to go through that change with anxiety or fear. But because of the amazing community that we are, we don't have to do any of this alone. We can tell each other to get up and don't be afraid, because all of us are working our very best to do what God calls us to do in the here and now, and all of us are on the way. No one has arrived, as my seminary professor Christopher Grundy once said. And we remember the Moseses and Elijahs that accompany our own transfigurations and were part of the past of this church and will accompany us into the future. People like Mike Bausch, Kathy Carlson, Jean McKim, Ardell Stelzel, and so many others. Now, I will be doing some of that work alongside you as I transform into an independent driver after many years of thinking that that would never be the case. But if I've learned anything through this process, it's that I don't have to go through this alone. I wouldn't be able to do this without the support from my beloved fiance, from my parents, from the patient guidance of my adaptive driving instructor, Jim, and the three brave souls in this congregation who have helped me volunteer, who have volunteered to help me practice. Jeff Dukach, Becky Smith, and Deb Vandesend. Yes, sometimes the world or our circumstances will call us to change. And sometimes that change is scary. Sometimes it'll ask a lot of us. But we don't have to do it alone. As long as we are following God, God will always be a step ahead, waiting for us and saying that we are God's child in whom God is well pleased. So as you go into this week, I invite you to think about how you might be part of the change that God is inviting us to here at Union Congregational Church. And I invite you to ask yourself what kind of changes God might be asking you to make in your own life. Now, these questions are kind of abstract on their own, without a clear answer. But that's so often how change works. We don't know what the end result is going to be all the time. We don't know how we'll get there. We don't know what it will ask of us. But by the grace of God, we know that God journeys alongside us and reminds us that we are God's beloved. So go into this week with that assurance and venture boldly into where God is leading you. May it be so. Amen. So I'm going to lead us in a little song written by Christopher Grundy, that same seminary professor that I mentioned. And we've done this before, but it's been a while. So if you feel like singing, you can sing with me. I will teach you the chorus, and then I have a verse. The chorus goes like this. Transfigure me so that I might be more like Jesus, more like Jesus. Transfigure me so that I might be more like Jesus, Jesus, my life. Will you try that? Transfigure me so that I might be more like Jesus. Transfigure me so that I might be more like Jesus, Jesus, my life. I got a verse. Take me up to the mountain, shine your light down on me, till the person you have always intended is the person everybody can see. Here we go! Transfigure. So now we enter into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our support and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence. Amen. So Judy Mecklenburg called me yesterday to ask for prayers for herself and for her sister Lynn. Lynn has pretty aggressive cancer and is nearing the end of her earthly life. And so we ask for God to be with Lynn, with Judy, and all who love Lynn as Lynn prepares to enter her heavenly home. God, in your mercy. What other prayers do we have today?
Laura asked that we let you know that Paul is home from the Christian home and on Zoom this morning.
Very good.
Visitors are welcome, but they may ask you to take the trash out.
Sounds good. For Paul and Laura, as Paul continues to recover and Laura grows in patience. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Then let us pray. God of change and glory, sometimes you ask us to do hard things. Sometimes you ask a lot of us. Sometimes you ask us to do things that we never thought we could do. Whether that's driving or being the church. But you remind us in all of that that we are not alone, because we have each other and because we have you. We ask you to be with all of us as we make our own transfigurations in our lives. We ask you to be with all of those whose names we've lifted up. With Judy and with Lynn, with Paul and with Laura, with all of those in our wider community that need our support and care, particularly in these times. And we are also painfully aware of ways that this world needs to be transfigured, O God. Systems that were never meant for everybody's thriving. And instead, privilege some while others don't have nearly enough. Help us bring about the justice that comes when Your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who lived and died that we might have better life, and who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now comes the time where we offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all manner of gifts, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give a gift as the ushers come around with the offering plate, or you may give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you do so remembering that your gift benefits not only this local church, but also the church universal. Join me in the prayer of dedication. God of transformation, thank you for the gifts you give us. Help us use these gifts to make the world align with your will. Amen. You may be seated. We have the amazing gift today of receiving new members officially. Alex and Laura Hoekstra have been with us for a while. And now they're so excited about being here that they want to be on committees. And being on committees, according to our bylaws, you have to be an official member in order to be on a committee. And so we decided that we might as well just make this one official. So we invite Alex and Laura. We invite those to come forward who wish to affirm their baptism by uniting with us in this household of faith to come forward. And remember, this is an open book test. You'll get all the answers. Friends in Christ, we are received into the church through the sacrament of baptism. These people have found nurture and support in the midst of this family of faith. Through prayer and study, they have been led by the Holy Spirit to affirm their baptism and to claim in our presence their covenantal relationship with Christ and the members of this church. They are here for service to Jesus Christ, using the gifts which the Holy Spirit bestows. Hear these words of Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. Anyone who abides in me and I in that person is the one who bears much fruit. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done for you. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full. So Alex and Laura, do you desire to affirm your baptism into the faith and family of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I do. Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire new freedom? Let me start that one again. Do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Jesus Christ? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciple? To follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able. If so, please say, I promise with the help of God. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith and be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God. By your baptism, you were made one with us in the body of Christ, the church. Today, we rejoice that your pilgrimage of faith, which has brought you into this time and place, we give thanks for every community of faith that has been your spiritual home. And we celebrate your presence in this household of faith. One more question. Alex and Laura, do you promise to participate in the life and mission of this family of God's people, sharing regularly in the worship of God and enlisting in the work of this local church as it serves this community and the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God. Let us, the members of Union Congregational Church of Waupun, express our welcome and affirm our mutual ministry in Christ. We affirm you with joy in the common life of this church. We promise you our continuing friendship and prayers as we share the hopes and labors of the Church of Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, may we continue to grow together in God's knowledge and love and be witnesses of our risen Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of this local church, we extend to you the hand of Christian love, welcoming you into this company of this local church. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, may your hand be ever over your servants who made a commitment to membership here today. May your Holy Spirit ever be with them. So lead them in the knowledge and obedience of your word, that they may serve you in this life and dwell with you in the life to come. Through Jesus Christ, and let all the people say, Amen. We have membership certificates for both of you, Alex and Laura, for your files. And congratulations, and please welcome the newest members of our family of faith. Thank you. And now let us join together in our closing hymn. This is I Am the Light of the World. We will be avoiding the Christmas verse, but we'll be singing verses 2, 3, and 4. The words are on the screen. Please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so.
Thank you.
give the benediction, I want to invite you to make sure that if you haven't met Alex and Laura Hoekstra, that you introduce yourselves to them. They are truly incredible people who are going to make a wonderful difference in our community. So, friends, receive these words of benediction. Now go into the world, feeling the wrap of love around your shoulders, the embrace of well-being encompassing your heart, the confidence that only requires one foot in front of the other, and the assurance that you are not alone. The world needs you and will patiently wait for your light to shine, illuminating just one small corner, speaking even a little bit of hope, because friends, we are in it together, along with the one who created us, the one who redeems us, the one who sustains us. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.